blast of the two red furnaces here, because it's quite a lot warmer, I think, over here. So if you're suffering from a winter chill, you could always move across. Next week it's going to be much warmer, isn't it, Paul? He's going to be on for hours before. So you can tell all your friends how snug and warm it's going to be. Okay. Well, the children have gone out. And this is very rare for David. Perhaps it's not so rare that he's talking to adults. But it's usual that he goes out with the children. But I just wanted to just say a little bit about David without embarrassing him. We just wanted to say how much we really appreciate David, all he's done. David's influence at New Life is absolutely huge. And I know that from times when I've helped with the children, the teenagers, that you talk to them and you say, when did you give your life to Jesus? When were you filled with the Holy Spirit? And so often, a major event in their life is marked by Carity Ward or when David Abbott was here. He's been really instrumental in the children's work here. And many of you here don't really know him because doesn't normally come to the adult meeting. But we've asked him to come this morning to talk about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in ministry, especially the children. And when Joe and I took David to the famous hostelry round the corner, I said to Joe as we left, I said, "Do you think he'll be all right?" We said, any time of the night, just come round the corner, knock on the door, and things don't work out. And Joe said to me, "He'll be all right. He's used to sleeping in the jungle." Which isn't entirely right, because he doesn't spend most of his life living in the jungle. But David has rowed in canoes through the jungle to get to places where he speaks. He's spoken to children that nobody wanted by the railway tracks of Mexico. Spoken to children in amazing places. One particular place I remember David talking about, he'd been to one year, and I think it was Bangladesh. Or it was Bangladesh, wasn't it, where they had the floods? Pakistan? It was somewhere over there. And anyway, he'd been speaking to this group of people, group of children, and many of them had given their lives to the Lord. And a few months later, there was a terrible disaster, and I think the whole village, where was it? India, in India, the whole village was swept away. And, that's the kind of place that he's been to. And it's been a pleasure and a delight for us as a church to support David and the orphanage in India and different things that he's done. Because he doesn't go where the big names go. He doesn't go where they give large offerings. He just goes where God wants him to go, and he just ministers to children in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we value him very, very much here at New Life. So let's give him a big, big welcome.
Well, after that introduction... It's great to be here and to share with you. Yes, most of the time I do go out with the children, but this morning what I'm doing benefits children. So that's fine. It fits in with my calling of working among children because of talking about children and the Holy Spirit. But just before that, just been asked just to say just a few things about the orphanage and the money gift that you gave last year, and fill in a few more details on that before I go on to share. Last year, you gave a phenomenal gift towards the orphanage in India, and I'd personally never taken so much money outside the country before when I carried all that cash out there. And I was very aware that we had to make sure that the money was spent on the right things, because those who've just been to Thailand will know full well everything is need, and it's difficult to know what to spend it on. And so after prayer and thought, we felt that it was right to purchase a vehicle because it was such a large amount. So with the help of Joe's acetate here, it's a little bit dark there because it was only a small camera it was taken from. But the top there is the vehicle that you purchased. The man in front is Pastor Samuel Babu, the pastor who runs the orphanage. And the vehicle is officially an 8-seater vehicle. But of course, in the third world, there are no limits to how many you can put inside your supposedly 8-seater vehicle. You can just squash them in like sardines. And so it's actually used to put many more children in. The vehicle, we went around and looked at a number of different vehicles, all of which were basically wrecks on wheels. And the thought of buying them, how long they were going to last, filled me with horror. And then, through a relative of Pastor Samuel, we heard about this vehicle, in the town where they lived. So we traveled to look at it and immediately knew this was the right one. And when all the bargaining was done, there was enough money to purchase the vehicle, put four new tires on the vehicle and one on the spare and a new battery, which was all that it needed. It's a 3-year-old vehicle with 30-odd thousand kilometers on the clock, which was quite miraculous. Most of what we saw were over the 100,000, and yet this is low mileage, was in very good condition. The seats inside, which normally are flat, quite hard bench-type seats, had been removed, and they're more like coach seats, comfortable ones that you sink into, and so it's luxurious inside. And then we also saw God's sense of humor, because when it was bought through an agent at a garage, but the owner still owed money to the bank on it. And so we had to go to the bank, pay off the rest of the loan along with the owner, and give the owner the remaining money. Well, this is the first time we'd met this owner, and it turned out that he was a Hindu priest who was furious when he discovered that his vehicle was going to Christians. And he turned red with rage, but money spoke louder than his religion, and he happily collected our cash. And so we had the vehicle, but it was dutifully prayed over from its previous owner, and is still running in perfect condition. Now, the vehicle does all sorts of things. The seats come out, and so they're able to go to the market to buy food and provisions. You can imagine with 225 children, plus a staff there, it's an enormous amount of goods they have to get, which up to now, or up to they got that, they had to pay someone to deliver, which means they lose a lot of money doing that. And also, it's used to take children down to the hospital if they're sick. There's no doctors visiting there. You have to take them. In the past, they've had to try and find a taxi somehow to get sick children. It takes the children on outings, which, for those children, if you go a few miles down the road and come back again, it's an outing. And they get very excited because they don't leave the compound. And so it has multi-purpose, but to me, the biggest and most exciting thing that the vehicle did was opened up the vision that we have for the orphanage beyond what I'd expected at this stage. Because at the end of my trip, we were able to take out a team of children, which are on this slide here, the bottom there. There are 21 children there from the orphanage, all of whom the brother that went with me and I had prophetic words over about the call of God on their lives. And they've become what's called the basic team, which is Babes in Christ teams. And the vehicle takes these children out into villages to preach the gospel. We took them out on the last night that I was there to a village, to a tiny church that's been planted by Samuel's brother. And normally around 30 to 40 people meet on a Wednesday night. We sent word we were bringing children to take the meeting, and over 100 people turned out. We literally took up all the road outside this lady's home, who's the cook in the orphanage, had the meeting out there. And we were able to do it because of the vehicle was able to ferry everyone back over there to the village to preach the gospel, where a huge crowd of people responded to the message. The 21 children did all the ministry. We spent most of the day preparing them, which Joe and everyone will know what that entails, getting children ready. And they went and they did everything. They did drama and singing and reciting Bible verses. Two of the boys preached. One of them made the appeal, and this crowd of people responded. But I had contact with Pastor Samuel recently, and he was saying, I have a big problem now. Because almost every day there are people turning up at the orphanage. Some who've walked many miles because there's no transport from that village, saying, we've heard you have this team of children who take meetings in villages. Will you come to our village and take a meeting? And there are so many invitations, he can't fit them all in. They're now going out twice a week with this team, preaching the gospel in the villages, of which mainly are Hindu villages, and people are getting saved as these children preach and do their dramas and lead praise and worship and solos and so on. People are getting saved. And the amazing thing is, of course, that these are the untouchables. They're the lowest of the low, that no one will go near, no one will educate, no one will touch, no one will employ. They're the dregs, and yet they're in demand to go and preach the gospel. They're overlooking that fact. God's blinding their eyes, whatever. And they've got all these invitations to go and preach. So the van is being well used all day, every day. And is still in perfect working order. So again, I bring thanks from everyone there for the gift, which has helped them practically and spiritually. Because the vision is that ultimately these children will be sent out all over India to preach the gospel and plant churches when they're old enough. Well, it's happening now while they're still young with the aid of the vehicle. So thank you very much. And then finally, of course, the top picture is the one of the earlier gifts that you gave, the uniforms, which are still being worn. Still going well. They get passed down as the older ones outgrow. They pass down and so on. So they're still well in use from previous gifts. So again, thank you. And so then to come on to sharing about children and the Holy Spirit, which I understand you've been working through a series through the year about the Holy Spirit. And of course at Carity Wood, that was our subject there. And so, as I share now, for most of what I share, you will see that the same reasons that children should have the Holy Spirit, so should we adults. So let's see that, but also look beyond that to the importance of children having what I see as a very valuable gift. Because in my estimation, in the work that I do, to me, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak in other tongues is not just a need or a necessity, but it's vital necessity in this day and age. Just to be saved is not enough. It gives them relationship with God. It gives them a personal relationship with Jesus. But it doesn't give them what they need to survive and to walk with Jesus to the end in these days. Because if we look at the situation that children are being brought up in and living in these days, it's a very rebellious generation. Disobedient, rude, disrespectful. Sin is not sin to the world today. It's a way of life. It's what you do. Everybody does it. And it's not wrong. And even if you get caught in some sin, then you will find some way to get out of it. And even many of the laws can enable you to get off of some crime if you've got a clever lawyer. So sin is not sin anymore. But in God's eyes, it still is. God hasn't changed. He still sees sin the way he did in Bible times. And the Holy Spirit can help our children to live outside of that, to be in the world but not part of what the world is doing. I know there are many parents and leaders who've said to me that I'm very hard and unloving with children to even think that they can live without sin in their lives, let alone teach them that they should. But my Bible says that God hasn't changed, and the power of God is still the same, and that they can live without sin. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit that's going to help them to do that. Acts 1 and verse 8 clearly says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And I know it says then to be witnesses in all these places, but let's see that witnessing is not just preaching or sharing your testimony or talking about Jesus. It is the way you live. It's your lifestyle. It's your character. It's your behavior. And so there's power to have the right behavior, to live the right way when you have the Holy Spirit in you. The ability is there for you to call upon. Yes, we need to teach the children to call on the Holy Spirit and to use the power that's within them. But the Bible clearly says that you receive power to witness, power to be different. And we have to raise up in these days a different generation to the one that's out there. A generation that shows there is an alternative way to live that brings fulfillment and happiness and joy that the world can't bring. That though they can do anything and everything, it doesn't bring them what they need inside. And the Holy Spirit is there to help them to do that. But to add with that, I also believe that the Holy Spirit is there to verbally witness and to be testimonies and preachers in these times. Though sin is wrong, there is some of what we're seeing today that I believe is God-given that needs channeling from the negative to the positive. See, again, if we look at children and young people today, we see a very strong-willed generation that are going to do their thing, whatever, and will fight for it if they don't get it. They're very determined. They're not going to be put off. They're going to live, dress, behave, and so on the way that they want to be. Now, at the moment, that so often works out in the negative, in rebellion and disobedience and so on. But I believe that's God-given, and we need to channel it to the positive, because if we're going to win the lost in these last days, if we're going to bring in the final harvest, it's going to need people who are strong-willed and determined, who are not put off by what people say or by what's happening around, but will do their thing. And so using the power of the Holy Spirit to channel the strong will and determination into the positive, I believe is what God wants. This is not something we should cast out, but should channel for God to use. Because there have been many prophecies and so on about these end times, that it's children and young people that God is going to use to reach people and to win the nations. And I believe we're in those end times. And to me, this strong will and determination is part of what they need. And the Holy Spirit can help to channel that, along with the other things I'll mention in just a moment. Channel that so that that strong will and determination is for God, and to be used by God, and to help them to do what God wants them to do, giving them the power. You know, the team that I took out there in India, I said two of the young boys preached, and one of them in particular, both the brother that went with me and I, both had a prophetic word for this boy. Neither of us knew the other one had it until we called him out and found we both wanted him, and then found that the words that we both had sort of followed on one after the other. And there was a very clear calling on him. But when we came to do the final practice before we went out, he was so nervous, his whole body was shaking and he couldn't hold his notes still. And so I had to go round behind him and just put my hand on his arm to sort of steady him. When we went out into the village, and I stood in the same place in case he needed me, he was dead still. The power of the Holy Spirit helping him to do what God wanted him to do. There is tremendous power available in the Holy Spirit that we need to use to channel. Because, again, in the generation that we have, what are children and young people looking for importance? To be recognized, to be accepted, for an outlet, to be involved, to be recognized, to be doing. It's a physical generation that we have that's doing and involved. And in the Holy Spirit, there is provided all of that. Because the scriptures will come to in a moment, again, show that in the Holy Spirit, there is all these outlets that they're looking for and fighting for in the world, all in the safe confines of God. So to me, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a vital necessity for every single child's life, to help them to live in their ordinary lives, to be used of God, to be channeled for what God wants. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, says the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to reveal God. And again, in these days, that is so vitally important, that each child has a revelation of God. Not just what we teach them, not just what they read from the Word of God, though that is all necessary and they need, but for God to be revealed to them themselves. And the Holy Spirit helps to reveal God to them, brings them into experiences where they can see the hand of God at work, brings them into experiences where they feel the presence of God. And especially in this generation, it's not enough to say that you're born again because you've prayed the sinner's prayer and you meant it and God always answers prayer, and you go on faith alone. That being important, but they need experience, physical experience. And the Holy Spirit brings them to that place where they can gain that physical experience of the presence of God. Feel that He's real, not just know it up here, not just be told, but the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to reveal Him, to see Him, to see His hand at work. And so help them to go on with Him. Romans 15, verse 16 says the Holy Spirit makes them pure and pleasing to God. Again, deals with the sin in their lives, deals with the wrong, and helps them to be pleasing to God. Gives them the power there to do that. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1 says the Holy Spirit gives ability to speak and do God's word, gives them the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be looking at one of those in the session with the children next, about prophecy. But again, speaking God's word, giving them that outlet, that involvement, And when you see children speaking the gifts of the Holy Spirit out, they get so excited. It may only be a few words when they first begin, but it gets them excited, gives them a thrill, and then spurs them on to more. And so the Holy Spirit opens up the way for them to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be an outlet for God to use them. And I believe in these days that God is wanting to raise up a prophetic generation. And why I believe that this afternoon's teaching that I've been asked to do is so vitally important, because I believe that God is raising up children to be prophetic voices. As I see it, the prophetic word seems to have lessened in these days. Now, there was a time when all the Christian magazines and newsletters and so on that went around were full of prophetic words from God about all sorts of things. But that seems to be less and less now of that sort of thing. I believe there needs to be more of that in these days. And so I believe that God is wanting to raise up prophetic voices. In many ways, I believe that we're very much like the times in 1 Samuel, when the boy Samuel came on the scene. And talking about God's people Israel there, it says that the voice of God was rarely heard in the land and visions were uncommon. These were God's people, but yet they were not hearing God. The word was not there. And God raises up a young boy who, when everybody else has lost the ability to hear God, hears God. To begin with, he doesn't recognize the voice of God, but that's not his fault. Eli's failed to teach him. Eli's fault, not his. He's a child. Eli was the priest, but he hadn't taught him. So therefore, when God speaks, he doesn't know how to recognize the voice of God. And I believe one of the reasons that Eli didn't teach him is because he'd lost the ability. I mean, it took God 3 calls before even Eli realized that it was God speaking. So he'd lost it. And in many ways, we've lost that prophetic edge, which I believe God is raising up children to bring us back to that. Because children, in a positive, right quote, are simple people who, if God says something, they will speak it. And they don't try to add to it or take away from it or won't say it because of who's there, but will speak what God says. You know, many a time I've asked children after they've said something and been in meetings where church leaders have asked it. A child, why did you bring that word? Because God gave it to me. Even though they don't know who it's for or don't understand what it's about, God said it, so they spoke it. And so God can give prophetic words to children and they'll speak it without the problems that us adults do. And so I believe there are many Samuel types that God is wanting to raise up. The Holy Spirit opens the door for that to happen. But I believe we're going to see it more and more in these days. That prophetic voice coming through. You know, one here, young Luke, most times I come here, has a word from God for me, which is so either spot on to what's happening, or within a short time, I begin to see them fulfilled. And that's one example here. But God wanted to raise up many more in these days. And we need to be looking for that and praying for that, that God will raise up those. Because it tells us in John 16 and verse 13, the Holy Spirit tells us what the Father says and reveals the future. God using children to reveal the future and to bring God's word. And not just little Jesus loves you type words, which are important, but speaking things they have no idea what they're talking about or anything, but they just speak what God's given them. Let me just give you one example from one of the churches that I go to. A young boy who is really moving in the prophetic word. When I first went to the church, he was very shy and quite retired. But when he opens his mouth, you hear God. And on this particular occasion, he came forward to pray for people who responded in that particular church, part of the ministry team, my children. And so you may get a child to pray for you, just the same as an adult may come and pray for you when you come for prayer. And on this occasion, a couple who were leaders in the church came forward, and they had had, as they put it, the worst week of their lives. And they came and they were literally at rock bottom and they needed encouragement. And so they came and stood at the front, and this young boy came and put his hands onto them and opened his mouth and then shut it. And then opened it and said, God's given me a word for you. Now, I will share some of the details of what had happened so you can see the extent of the propheticness of the word that he had. It had begun on the Monday morning with a phone call from the wife's sister, who they knew was living in a lesbian situation with another woman, but she'd rung to say she was going to be implanted with an egg to give birth in that situation, which was like a hammer blow to this couple. Wednesday comes, a phone call from the wife's brother, because he'd just had results of tests back saying that he was HIV positive, and was dying, basically. Another hammer blow. The following day came a phone call from non-Christian parents of hers who wanted help, but clearly don't bring God into this. They were very anti, and they didn't want even the name of God brought in. And as the couple said, what could we say to them? There is no hope other than in God. And these parents were blaming themselves. Why can we only produce, in quotes, one normal child, which was this lady? But wouldn't have God brought into it. So they were at rock bottom, and they came to the front, and this boy laid hands on them, opened his mouth, and the word he had was told them exactly what had happened during that week and what God was going to do. Now, that boy had no idea about those details. There were three people in the church who knew them, obviously the couple involved and the pastor. He was not the son of any of those. He could not have overheard a telephone conversation or parents talking or anything of such. It had to have come from God, what he said, and then what God was going to do. And as the couple will say, the tremendous thing from that was that the relationship between them and that boy grew as a result of what had happened. He didn't in any way look down on them or keep away from them because of details he knew about their family. In fact, their relationship grew. It got stronger and closer as a result of that. And that happened a number of years ago, and that boy has never, ever mentioned that again. He spoke it, delivered it, end of matter, gone, never brought up again. Another reason I believe why God trusts children to bring forth his word, because they say it, doesn't alter anything in relationships. They say it and it's finished and done. They forget it and go on with life, and so on. God is raising up a prophetic generation, a generation that's different to the one out there, the one that lives for God. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to enable them to do that, and to be different. It isn't easy. But the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to do that. And then finally, Galatians 5:22, where we read about the fruits of the Spirit, the character qualities that God is wanting in lives. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to help to produce those and transform children who are totally the opposite to that, who have no love in their lives, no joy, no peace. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to help to bring those things into their lives and help them to live those things out as transformed people. It's the Holy Spirit that can do it, the power of the Holy Spirit. With us helping them, they're not going to be able to do it alone. They can't read the word and interpret and do it. They need us. They need us adults as their leaders, as their parents, as adults that they look up to help them into all of these things, to help them to change their lives and to live without sin, to help them to be the prophetic voices, to help them to have the fruits of the Spirit in their lives, to be channeled, to be used by God in these days, needs all of us helping them by example. So therefore, we need these things in our lives so that we can show them the way. Because especially in these days, it's not a case of do what I say, not what I do. It's a case of they do what we do. They're watching. And though we may not see it or be aware of it, they are watching all the time. And it's just occasionally you get these little things you see and, oh, help, I know where they got that from. But they're watching all the time. So they need a good example in us of how this works. So we need to be the ones who are working through the things we've been learning in our lives so that we can be the examples. We need to encourage them into these things so that not just leave them to get on with it, but encourage them into it by the things we say, by the way we treat them, and then rejoice when we see them beginning to change, when we see them beginning to do things and begin to be these things that God wants them to be. And with that, not allowing any jealousy or any such things to come in as a result. We are living in days where, in the spiritual realm particularly, God is going to take children, I believe, beyond the place where some of us have gone at this point in time, including me. In all that I do with children, I know God is raising up those who'll go beyond what I've done and what I am. And that I rejoice in that, and I'm determined that I'm going to follow and not let them get away ahead of me. But I believe that's what's going to happen in these days. We need to be ready for that and ready to allow them ultimately to help us to go further. But we've got to help them to get in there first, to that first place, and then let God take them and use us. So it does need us all, not just them, not just the few that work with them and the few that are parents, but all of us together being the example for them to follow, encouraging them and rejoicing with them when we see these things begin to happen. And together, then we'll be the people that God wants us to be. Exciting things lie ahead. I believe that what I shared about the team going out in India is only a glimpse. And then I've been reading bits of the book from Mozambique and the children there. God is beginning to do exciting things, but it's only the beginning of the first step with much more to see. So let's be ready. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you are doing in this time. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, who you sent there back at that first Pentecost that transformed those disciples' lives and made them into new creatures who were different to what they were before, and made them into those who turned the world upside down. But we thank you, Father, that that is an example then of what you want to do now in us, that you want the power of your Holy Spirit to transform and to change our lives, that we are different people and that we turn the world upside down, that we turn this area upside down by our lives and by what we do and by what we don't do. But Father, we also thank you that that includes our children and our young people too. That every one of us are a part of the transformation that you want to take place as a result of the teaching you've been bringing and what you've been building into us. Father, help us to take that example and go beyond that which we read in the Word. Let us all take our part. Let us all respond to your call and to your heart in raising up a powerful people, and that our children be a powerful generation that does indeed turn this generation, this world, back to you. Father, do your work in us that you're wanting to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I'm tempted to give up, I find that often during, that if I have missed a week, I often find during that week God has answered something that I prayed before. And, you know, in some ways I feel really bad because I think, oh, I missed that time with you, you know, and you've still been so kind and answered my prayers, or you've still touched me, in spite of that. And of course God is very gracious and kind to us. It's not something, you know, He's not got strict rules that we have to, you know, if we don't keep to the exact format that He won't have anything to do with us. He's so generous and kind to us. During the time, I find that if I'm, you know, my prayer time, if I want to give up during that time, that getting going with praise again always gets me going. I don't set the level too high. So only recently have I started coming to my prayer times with a list of a few things that I would quite like to pray for that night. For the last 3 or 4 years, I've simply done the prayer time as a time of praise. So, I mean, amazingly, God has always spoken to me. God's presence has always turned up. And I've actually achieved a lot more than I set out for. But I think because I didn't set the level really high, thinking, oh, now I've got to pray for all these people and different things, then I wasn't under pressure. And it's probably all my own frailty rather than the fact that I couldn't have done it anyway. So I don't set the standards high. I say, right, well, if I praise for 45 minutes, why praise for the whole hour? That is completely valid, because praise silences the enemy. Psalm 8 says that from the lips of children and infants, you've ordained praise to silence the enemy. Now, if the praises of children and infants silences the enemy, then how much more when my praises, when mine can be specific and I can, and I've got the mind to be able to really lift God up properly with, you know, with a sound mind and you know, with my education or whatever I bring to the Lord. And it does silence the enemy. I'm choosing songs that sing of the Word of God, that sing about Scripture or sing Scripture, are very powerful, because you're declaring those things to the enemy. And singing about the blood of Jesus is spiritual warfare. And I never realized this, that by simply praising God, using the Word of God and singing about the blood of Jesus, is silencing the enemy, and that is spiritual warfare. And so it's fine to do it for an hour, because you've warfared. You've not just kind of sung little songs. Praise has the double effect. I'm just finished. Praise has the double effect of lifting God up and closing the enemy down. And so whatever we do, that's going to bring about a change in the spiritual atmosphere of where we are. And of course, in your home, you're doing it in your home, so you've spent all that time lifting up the name of Jesus in your home. It can only bring benefits to your family, to the spiritual atmosphere around you, to your neighbors, and to your life in general. So I'd really encourage people, you know, or you all here this morning, to have a go at praising God. And I really believe that each of us has a creative spark in us that we need to be looking to see released, to see us being able to use it to engage with God.
Great, thanks. That was really helpful. Oh, that was lovely, really practical. I think that's the thing that's really wonderful is to realize there's tremendous variety. God's made us so different as people, individuals. And we mustn't let ourselves be put in little boxes, but must let God teach us. And I know the way Barbara praises is very different from the way I do. But that's not the means that she's right and I'm wrong.